much about.
All right, is this Godhead or what?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's hip. It's happening. Anyway, today is History Month, and this is a reminder. Hope everybody got their flu shots. And Rite Aid, in a lot of places, are actually giving them out for like $20-$25. Just show up and you get a flu shot, but you got to pay $20 or $25. But it's first come, first serve. What about our Jewish fans out there? They're out there. We know you're out there. We love you, and we love Canners. Go to Canners every night. My favorite restaurant, even though they raise the prices.
And now.
That's right. Turn on that cassette, press record, get those tape recorders queued up.
Our feature presentation.
I miss him so much. I mean, it seems like he left us too soon, doesn't it? I mean, didn't he have a lot of great broadcast years left him when he died?
Yeah. Maybe well, one.
Maybe. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friends. It is a brand new show for a Thursday. If you're wondering why I'm talking and not the usual voice that you hear on your radio, it's because for the second time this week, he's not here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Monkey.
Carmageddon!
Not yet.
Dude, Carmageddon is until midnight tomorrow night.
Yes.
Carmageddon!
What's happening out there?
I don't know. There was some. I actually did leave 5 minutes early because I contrary to popular belief, I am not happy about being late. So I left 5 minutes early, but I guess it was a big rig on the 405, and they had to close the freeway to get it off the street. So basically, I sat there with my car in park.
Wow.
For about 5 to 10 minutes.
Huh.
I can actually back that up. It's true.
Wow. Yeah, it doesn't do any good on this show to lie about traffic because we have a source who can check that out. Check out your facts and figures. Now, Lisa, you and Ralph both come from the Valley, but you come a different way. You don't take the 405.
We don't take the 405. Yeah, we come down to Hollywood.
So it's just Kevin.
Kevin.
So good times out there. All right. Well, are you through it now? You're on your way. You're getting closer.
Yeah, I'm like 2 minutes away.
Okay. All right. We'll see you soon.
Carmageddon.
Carmageddon. Yeah, we got Carmageddon. Here's a here's an amazing story, Lisa. I don't remember if we talked about the last time the 1 Million Moms group was in the news, but they are, as you would imagine, they're a parents group that writes strongly worded letters to television shows and commercials and companies that advertise or do things that they think are inappropriate for their children to see. That's what they do. And they made the news last year because they had written a bunch of complaint letters and tried to get a boycott going of the Bed and Bath Works place because they had one of these big posters in the mall of a woman who was advertising how good some of their stuff is for your skin. And she was naked in the ad, but obviously it's a poster that they put in a mall. You could see nothing. I mean, she was kind of folded up inside of herself with her hands over her chest and her legs crossed. You couldn't see anything. It was clear that she was naked, but the Million Moms wrote strongly worded letters that they thought that was inappropriate for the kids to see because kids don't know that you're naked in your clothes. I mean, there's no way they could reconcile that with their little brains, right?
No, of course not.
Well, they're back in the news now, and they're writing protest letters to the Oreo company, to Nabisco, and their parent company Kraft Foods because of a television commercial that is airing that they say has obscene language in it.
Really?
So. Yeah, and this is an Oreo commercial, okay? They say they find it shocking. In the commercial, a family is sitting around and they're trying the new Oreo fudge cream cookie. And what the mother says is so offensive that they have started a boycott. They have written to Kraft and said, we find it, quote, hard to believe that Kraft is unaware what this statement means. Does Kraft desire for our children to have dirty mouths? So they're trying to boycott Oreos, which, by the way, is there anything more un-American than boycotting Oreos?
No, and I would like to try this new cookie. What did you say it was? A fudge covered what?
It's a fudge cream covered Oreo.
Yum.
Is what it is. So it's like a fudge cream cookie, and then you bite it on the inside, and there's an Oreo.
I love that.
And the mom is so delighted that she blurts out this expletive, this foul-mouthed tirade goes on in an Oreo commercial, and parents are shocked because, oh my God, you can't say stuff like that in front of your kids. So I thought I'd play the commercial for you. and see what you think and if you think this is appropriate for children. And I should warn you before I play it, there's extremely explicit language in this clip. So please make sure your children are not anywhere near the radio. The commercial starts with the dad and the son having the cookie at the table. Then mom will walk in, and she will then react to the cookie.
Whoa.
Right?
Get out.
Exactly.
Really?
What?
Okay, so that's what. Mom walks in. She takes a bite of the cookie. Now get ready. Brace yourselves. Okay. Please don't write and complain to us, because we're giving you fair warning how bad this is what she says.
Shut the front door.
Right? Franklin Delano.
Hey, there's Oreo cream under that fudge. Oreo fudge creams. Indescribably good.
Shut the front door.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe they said that. Are you kidding me?
That is the most offensive I mean, honestly, for a minute, I thought I was watching The Wire. I was like, whoa, with that kind of language. Back off. Shut the front door.
Pete, I got to dump if you say that one more time.
I'm sorry. I apologize. You're right. We can't use language like that in the FCC. Now, it's clear that that is intended to be a euphemism for a much coarser term. We all get that.
Right.
But you know what? It's not. Is that coarser term?
It would be like saying shucks instead of the other word, and then them saying, you can't say that.
Yes. It's you can't say gosh darn it, because what you really mean is blank blank.
Right.
That's what it would mean.
Now, oh my gosh. And they're going to fold, right?
I'm sure they are. I'm sure that Kraft Foods, the last thing they want, Nabisco, the last thing they want is to have moms going grocery shopping and boycotting their stuff because of their filthy, filthy mouths.
That's kind of funny.
Shut the
Come on, dude.
I know. I can't say it. I can't say it. And then the news story that I saw yesterday, they had an entire montage. And this is an expression, by the way, that has completely escaped me. But they had an entire montage of television show after television show after television show that has used this as, you know, as a, I guess as a comedy punchline or something like that. Because clearly it's not what they're trying to say. But I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
I watch What Not to Wear, and they use that all the time. When the woman comes out and she's got, like, she looks amazing and completely different. And I was like, shut the front door. I think it's kind of funny.
Well, that's because you hate America, apparently.
So kids would know what that actually meant? Is that the point? That a 2-year-old is going to hear that and go, oh, you know what you were really trying to say.
I don't know what they think is going to happen. I don't know if they think their kids' heads are going to explode because they hear this filthy language or what. You're right. It doesn't mean anything to them. It's just an expression.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And if my kid said, shut the front door, wouldn't I go wash his mouth out with soap?
You'd be so relieved.
Yeah, I would. I'd be so relieved, and it would never happen.
Shut the front door.
Yeah, right. All right, so that's the latest controversy. Thank God we've got that one. Thank God we're cleaning that one up before we move on to other problems. But let's turn our attention now to an all-new Thursday Kevin and Bean show.
Oh, God, I'm so bored.
Yesterday was our breakfast with Incubus. Those guys are always fantastic. They sounded so good. They were so nice. They were very gracious. They hung around forever after the event, by the way, to get pictures with and give autographs to virtually everybody in the room.
They really are the nicest
guys. They are so nice, and the album is really good. If not now, when? Incubus is out now. We got a couple of highlights for you that we'll play in case you missed it yesterday in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of Carmageddon, Kevin says it started early today. We've got a complete update for you on what's happening. This is the 405 freeway, one of the major roads in Southern California. This is a national story now because of people not knowing how Southern California is going to react to having this artery cut. But we've got some updates for you, some things maybe you haven't heard about Carmageddon coming up next hour as well. LA Rising is right around the corner. That's the big show that's happening with Rage Against the Machine, also Muse, Rise Against, and more. We got tickets you can win to go to a pre-show barbecue and see the show on today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Cool.
Mark Burnett joins us, television producer, about his new program Expedition Impossible. Dr. Drew's going to be on the show today, and we got clips again from our favorite show, Repo Games, that we can't get enough of. All of that, plus Rob's got the showbiz beat right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Highlights of our breakfast with Incubus coming up next, right after the top of the hour. Here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman, big day for Hollywood types like you, huh?
It is. Big day. Big day. Daniel Baldwin has a restraining order. His wife... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, you're talking about the Emmy nomination?
I was really thinking more of the Emmys, right?
I thought maybe you were excited about Daniel Baldwin's restraining order. I thought maybe that was the reason it was the big day.
I'm going to go with no.
Turns out, this morning, they announced, just moments ago, the nominees for the 63rd Annual Emmy Awards, which will be airing Sunday, September the 18th. On Fox, hosted by Jane Lynch of Glee.
That'll be good. She's funny.
She is funny, and she has a long, long history as a improvisational and stage performer, which I think are two skills which will certainly come in handy.
I agree.
When she's up on that stage. She's used to performing in front of live audiences, and she's got a quick wit. And I think it was an excellent choice on behalf of the Academy and Fox to have her host.
It's the best when
she's no James Franco, though.
It's the best when things happen live, and then they can actually react to it in a funny way, which she'll be able to do.
Right. So here are the people who will be honored on that particular Sunday evening. These are your nominees for the Best Performances and Television Programs. Best Actor in a Drama, Steve Buscemi for Boardwalk Empire. Can't deny that. Kyle Chandler for Friday Night Lights was nominated for Best Actor.
Oh, Ralph just said the words Friday Night Lights without saying anything snarky about it.
Wait, I thought this was the Emmys
you
for TV.
You didn't wait a beat.
Yeah, it was for television, but apparently it's any format of entertainment this year. Even the things they project on a sheet in a back alley behind a 7-Eleven. That's where the only place you can see Saturday Night Live, or Friday Night Lights, rather. Michael C. Hall, Dexter.
Yes.
John Hamm, of course, for Mad Men. Perennial nominee Hugh Laurie for House as well. And the surprise this year, in my opinion, for Best Actor in a Drama, Timothy Oliphant for Justified from FX.
Wow, really?
I don't know if
people
you've seen that show or not.
I like him a lot, but I haven't seen the show.
I've seen the show several times, and I'm a little behind on the plot line to really sort of get wrapped up in it.
Right.
But the production values and the performances are all excellent.
Really good.
There's a lot of stuff going on there. It's very good. Best Actor in a Comedy, Alec Baldwin for 30 Rock.
Yes.
Louis C.K. for his TV sitcom, Louis. Steve Carell for The Office, of course, which is the sentimental favorite now that he's left that show. Johnny Galecki for The Big Bang Theory. Matt LeBlanc for a show called Episodes. I don't know if you caught that or not.
Hilarious.
On Showtime, I guess it was.
My wife loves that show.
Very funny British show.
I haven't seen it yet.
Jim Parsons for The Big Bang Theory. Best Actress in a Drama, Kathy Bates for Harry's Law. Connie Britton for Friday Night Lights. Marielle Enos for The Killing, which is a very critically acclaimed but sparsely watched television program, but a lot of people are saying good things about it. Mariska Hargitay for Law and Order Special Victims Unit, Juliana Margulies, who is so brilliant on The Good Wife, and Elizabeth Moss for her work on a show called Mad Men, which I believe was on during the Carter administration.
It was.
Mad Men. I have not seen an episode of that in some time, and shan't for yet another long time to come. Won't be until 2012. That's when we'll get new
really?
Mad Men.
Yeah, so. They work slow.
Best Actress in a Comedy, Edie Falco, Nurse Jackie, Tina Fey for 30 Rock, Laura Linney for The Big C, Melissa McCarthy from Mike and Molly. Melissa was one of the presenters this morning. She was announcing the nominees, and she was genuinely shocked and stunned when her name was read.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Martha Plimpton for Raising Hope, and Amy Poehler for Parks and Recreation. Best Series, Drama, Boardwalk Empire, Dexter, Friday Night Lights, Game of Thrones, The Good Wife, and Mad Men. Best Series, Comedy, Big Bang Theory, Glee, Modern Family, The Office, Parks and Recreation, and 30 Rock. And for Best Reality Show, let's just give it to The Amazing Race now and be done with it.
Yes.
So I don't have to worry about sitting through that category on that
That's
Sunday.
A great show.
It is, and
you know,
it always wins.
When you read those lists, Ralph, of Emmy nominations this morning, it almost sounds like we're living in a period for great television.
I think we
There's
are.
There's a lot of talent on
our television.
I think we are.
Yeah.
But it's funny because even with those shows available, 99% of what's on television the rest of the time and on the other channels is still crappy.
Well, that
there's still so much horrible television.
That has always been the case.
Yeah. I guess so.
It's just a matter of percentages. Now you've got hundreds of hours of programming to choose from, whereas 30 years ago you only had the major three networks, but it was still the top 5% that was good, and the rest was all crap.
There's certainly a lot better stuff during the summer. I mean, now they finally decided the summer is an area where they could put on some good shows.
Yeah, I was just watching Minute to Win It Summer last night.
Well,
I mean,
let's not get
can't
crazy.
Get any better than that. You got a minute to balance that egg on a tray. Go. The hell is that show still on television? Minute to Win It.
I don't know.
Let's be cheap. I stopped and watched. I said, this is a show? Really? It's a guy with an egg on a tray?
Yeah.
For a minute? They want me to watch that? And I did. Glee is nominated for Best Comedy, and the Hollywood Reporter today announced that we now know which Glee members will not be returning at the end of the upcoming season. They're graduating. Creator Ryan Murphy said, I didn't want to do one of those TV shows where the students stay in high school forever. So we've been on for 3 years. The kids started as sophomores. They will be graduating at the end of this year.
Little Precious?
Little Precious will not be graduating. Oh. Apparently, Leah Michelle, Corey Monteith, and Chris Colfer will be gone at the end of the season as they go on to college or
aren't those first
show
two,
business. Or
aren't those
whatever.
First two of the biggest stars of
all
the show?
All three of them are. Yeah. Chris Colfer's gotten all kinds of awards for his acting on that show. Leah Michelle, of course, Wow. Brilliant singer and actress, Corey Monteith, who plays the quarterback on that show. They're all going to be gone. They're going to have to cast brand new students for the season following the one coming up.
Huh.
Ryan says when he was making the decision, he included Leah and Chris because they thought it was a good idea. Apparently they were on board. They said, yeah, we should be graduating. It seems appropriate. They both trust the writing and trust me that it would be great for them to have an open and closed experience for them to go out while they were on top. So, congratulations. More TV news, since we are talking a lot about television. Cal Penn, who was very good, I thought, on House when he was on there, he left House to go to Washington. Remember, he took a job with the Obama administration.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
After 2 years, looks like he's leaving his post of associate director in the Office of Public Engagement at the White House.
Because it's not a real office.
Because it's not a real job. Someone invented that title.
And hey, you want to balance the budget?
They say there's too much bloat going on in government.
Yeah, exactly.
Really? How can they when they say we've got the associate director in the Office of Public Engagement looking for a job?
Some money we can save right here.
He's coming back to television with a major role on How I Met Your Mother, where it is he's going to play a new love interest for Kobe Smulders on that show.
Oh. So. He's funny.
And yeah. We are talking about House Jesse Spencer. It was up in the air whether Dr. Chase was going to return or not to House this upcoming season. Lisa Edelstein has already announced that she would not be returning as Cuddy. And Jesse Spencer's contract was up as well. However, he announced yesterday that I am coming back for season 8. Apparently, he tweeted it from the beach because he said, I'm coming back with a tan and a busted surfboard. So he did not have a good day surfing, but he had a good day in his career. Olivia Wilde, by the way, will be returning as well, but perhaps in a diminished role because she's very busy now making movies and stuff.
Yes, she is.
She got that going on.
How can they realistically bring, no spoiler alert intended here, but Dr. House back to the hospital after the way the season ended this time?
Well, that's the beauty, because Cuddy won't be there. So maybe Cuddy quits.
Because he comes back.
Because
he barreled through
her house in a car, no pun intended.
Right. But you would think Wilson and everybody else would say, this dude is a menace to society.
Trust me, I'm sure they will. He's not a menace to society. He's a doctor.
He's a genius doctor.
Okay. Yeah, I think that'll be the through line, is like the repercussions for what he did. But obviously, Cuddy has cut her bait and is moving on. And I'm interested to see who they cast as the new head of the hospital. Should be interesting. Hope it's a dude who busts his balls. That's very entertaining. And while we're talking about people who are busy off making movies like Olivia Wilde, apparently, and this is sad news, Mila Kunis will not be able to take that Marine to the Marine Corps balls. She originally promised to. She had a breaker date with the Marine because the date of the Marine Corps ball this year, which is November the 18th, apparently falls right in the middle of a production schedule of a movie she's shooting that fall. So she had.
What's more important, her crappy movie or the United States of America?
The movie.
Okay.
Right. Today's celebrity birthday is Vincent Pastore. He played Big Pussy on The Sopranos. He's 65 years old.
Shut the front door.
Kyle Gass.
We are not going to start that.
Kyle Gass of Tenacious D. Cage.
Yeah.
Come on.
Our boy KG is 51 years old today.
Only one clapping.
We were just talking about Jane Lynch, who's going to host the Emmys. She celebrates her 51st birthday today. Jackie Earle Haley, who was so good in Watchmen as Rorschach. And he was good on Human Target. I loved that show. And that is now canceled, so he won't be on that show any longer. He's 50. Matthew Fox of Lost is 45 years old today. How does that guy look so good at 45, by the way?
I don't know.
That Dr. Jack Shepard. Must be the island. Must have kept him young.
That's
what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And Taboo of Black Eyed Peas celebrates his 36th birthday.
We should get a lot of Black Eyed Peas
we
music.
Should play
so
a
celebrate.
Lot of...
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
hey.
So we can celebrate.
BEP today just for Bean, so
that's
he
right.
can dance in
Let's
his
not,
boxers.
Because he loves it.
Yeah,
let's pass on that.
He can dance on one leg in his boxers there as he does the show from his home. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got tickets for you to see Rage Against the Machine, Muse, and Rise Against. Plus more, by the way, on that big show coming up at the end of the month. It's LA Rising, plus a pre-show barbecue. That in about 15 minutes. Also, Dr. Drew on the show and our friend Mark Burnett, who put Survivor on the air along with Apprentice. Got a brand new show, too. So that's all on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show.
This weekend, the 405 is being closed. It's like it's supposed to be the worst freeway in the world as far as traffic.
Yeah.
By the way, for those of you who live in Los Angeles, there's a great deal of pride in having the worst traffic on any freeway in the world every year when those lists come out. I mean, it's all USA, USA when you hear that news, right?
But if you're in San Francisco, the 101, or Lakeshore Drive in Chicago, or any bridge in New York, you can tell, you can imagine how much problem that would cause. But the overkill is just a bit much, and they do have a hotline that we can call. for some information.
I want Lisa's opinion on this, because some are saying that the media are hyping this out of control and the average people are just going, well, it's easy to avoid one road for 3 days. But do you think they're doing too much coverage on this, Lisa?
I do think. Yes. I think they are really, really trying to panic people.
Yes.
I mean, they've got apps now so you can get around over the weekend. I mean, some people are going to have no choice, but most people are going to be able to avoid it.
Call the hotline.
The Carmageddon hotline. You can get your questions answered on what to do if you need to drive on the busiest freeway in America this weekend.
They're calling it Carmageddon. We're not making that up.
Hello, and thank you for calling the Los Angeles Department of Transportation's Carmageddon hotline.
All right.
Although the word Carmageddon may seem scary, in truth, the operation is going to be much, much worse.
What?
In fact,
what?
Here around the office, we like to refer to it as car AIDS.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
Because Carmageddon sounds like it gives you the promise of a sweet, quick death.
Right.
In reality, this entire procedure is going to be a long, drawn-out, lingering, painful procedure.
That's not what we want to hear.
But here at the Los Angeles Department of Transportation and the Carmageddon Hotline, we're here to answer your questions.
Okay.
Using your touchstone keypad, press the button of the question you'd like answered. Number one, what is the exact nature of the work being done this weekend? Press 1. Number 2, what is the length that the road work will take and your concerns about it? Press 2. For 3, press 3 for alternate routes to get around the Los Angeles metropolitan area.
I think we need all three. Yeah. Should I start with 1? I'll start with 1.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, let's find out what it is they're doing. I'm not even sure I know that.
You pressed 1.
Yes.
What is the exact nature of the work being done this weekend? Don't worry about it. It's none of your goddamn business.
Well, we're trying
to get something done here, and you're bothering us with questions? Thanks, asshole.
How's that help?
Look, this is,
we don't bother
on.
You at your job, do you? We don't come by and bother you when you're turning tricks for beer money.
So this is inappropriate.
Up. Wow.
Just know that we're blowing up a bridge. Does that sound dangerous?
Oh,
it is.
Okay.
It's very difficult and very dangerous.
Right. Okay.
In fact, it's very technical, and you're too stupid to understand.
All right.
Wow. It's that defensive here.
If you'd
What's
like
up?
To go back to the main menu, press 1 now.
All right. Main menu.
Yes.
Would you like to answer one of the other questions?
Yeah.
Like number 2, what is the exact length of the concerns that the road work will take?
Number 2.
Sure. Let's do that.
The exact length of the road work is not an exact number, but we do expect it to last from midnight on Friday until early Monday morning. Although, have you ever known any construction project to run on time?
No.
We have no idea when this will be over.
Oh, don't say that.
Don't come near this area until football season starts.
Okay.
What's that you say? Football season may not start this year?
Yeah, not a year.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
If you'd like to return to the main menu, press 1 now.
All right. This is the alternate routes option I think we got left here.
Would you like to answer 3? What are the alternate routes to get around the greater Los Angeles metropolitan area?
Yes, please.
Absolutely. Yeah, we need that.
If you'd like to know from the West Valley to downtown, press 1. If you'd like to know from the west side to the Poised Eats, press 2. If you'd like to know how to get from the San Fernando Valley or San Gabriel Valley to LAX, press 3.
I think really any of them. Fine.
You pressed 1.
Mm-hmm.
What part of Carmageddon don't you understand? Don't get in your car, asshole.
Hey, why are you yelling at us?
Don't go to downtown. Don't go from the west side to Points East. And don't try to get from the San Fernando Valley or San Gabriel Valley to LAX.
All right.
What part of death and destruction don't you understand?
Hey.
We're calling it Carmageddon.
Right.
Don't get in your freaking car.
All right. Okay.
If you must get in your car, take a length of garden hose, stick one end of the tailpipe, and put the other end of the driver's side of your window.
That's not good
and
advice.
And stay in your effing garage.
No, that's not
because
good.
Because if you're going to get in your car, you're the kind of person we don't want to see after Carmageddon. We don't need you in our goddamn roads.
All right.
Okay, we don't need this.
Asshole.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
Thanks for calling the LADOD hotline.
You're welcome.
Toyota owners, this July, your local participating Toyota dealership has 2 complimentary tickets to Toyota Speedway at Irwindale with any service or genuine Toyota parts or purchase of $89.99 or more while supplies last. Don't let the racing season pass you by. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Lisa seems to have a lot of stuff in her mouth these days.
She sure does. Thanks, Lisa. It's the world famous K-Rock at 6:55. Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, the biggest story of the morning, I guess, has to be the 63rd annual Emmy nominations that were announced this morning. As they announced it this morning, they said, live from North Hollywood. I was like, really? Do you think just because Hollywood's in the name, people are going to be fooled into thinking that's impressive? It is the 63rd Annual Emmys, airing Sunday, September the 18th on Fox, hosted by Jane Lynch. Here are your nominees for some of the bigger categories. Best Actor in a Drama, Steve Buscemi for Boardwalk Empire. Boy, he was good in that show.
Great in that.
Everybody in this lineup, it really is pretty terrific. Kyle Chandler for Friday Night Lights. Michael C. Hall for Dexter. John Hamm for Mad Men. Hugh Laurie for House. And Timothy Oliphant for Justified over on FX. Best Actor in a Comedy, Alec Baldwin for 30 Rock. Louis C.K. for Louis. Steve Carell in The Office. Johnny Galecki for Big Bang Theory. Matt LeBlanc for Episodes. And Jim Parsons also for Big Bang Theory. That's going to suck when one of your co-stars is nominated against you.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
people who love yeah. that show, obviously that vote's going to be split. Although Jim Parsons won last year. I don't think Johnny Galecki was nominated last year. So, Best Actress in a Drama, Kathy Bates for Harry's Law.
Really?
Really? Connie Britton for Friday Night Lights. Marielle Enos for The Killing. Mariska Hargitay for Law & Order Special Victims Unit, Juliana Margulies for The Good Wife, and Elizabeth Moss for Mad Men. Best Actress in a Comedy, Edie Falco for Nurse Jackie, Tina Fey for 30 Rock, Laura Linney for The Big C, Melissa McCarthy for Mike and Molly, Martha Plimpton for Raising Hope, and Amy Poehler for Parks and Recreation. I always think it's tough for the other nominees when shows like Nurse Jackie and The Big C get nominated in a comedy.
Yeah, are those yeah. comedies?
They are comedies, but they're dramedies more than anything. I mean, there's a lot of very...
dark comedy.
It's very black humor, yeah.
And there's some very dramatic stuff you get to play in those shows that give you an advantage, I think, when it comes to an acting award over someone who's just
oh, you think so?
Hitting the marks and telling
but,
their
but
jokes.
In a comedy category, don't you think they'll just write off those as being not that funny?
I don't think so. I think they're going to say, look at the performances these women gave this year. And you
so
know,
it's an advantage.
Didn't
I think.
Hey, when win last?
Yeah,
she won last, and didn't she step up on the stage and go, we're not a comedy? Yeah. She even said that when she won her award.
Yeah, although this show is very funny, so what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Best Series, Drama, Boardwalk Empire, Dexter, Friday Night Lights, Game of Thrones, The Good Wife, and Mad Men. Best Series, Comedy, The Big Bang Theory, Glee, Modern Family, The Office, Parks and Recreation, and 30 Rock. And Best Reality Show, Top Chef, The Amazing Race, American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, Project Runway, and So You Think You Can Dance. Kat Dealy, by the way, host of So You Think You Can Dance, nominated for Best Reality Host this year, which is nice.
Give it to her.
Not seen her.
You have never seen Kat Dealy?
I don't think so.
she's the deal. Gorgeous British blonde who's the host of that show. She is spectacular.
And twice this season, Kevin, her own show has spelled her name wrong on the Chiron. On the program.
It's sweet. It's been very awkward. But maybe she'll win an Emmy and then all will be well. I don't think this Harry Potter movie is going to do very well.
You don't?
No. And I don't get the sense it's going to be a very huge opening tomorrow when it opens. Oh, no, wait a minute. Advance sales for the movie have reached $32 million in ticket sales.
Yay!
That's just people going online and pre-buying their tickets before they go to the theater.
Which is more than most movies make in their entire run.
Yes.
Wow.
Or at least in the opening weekend. So people have already spent that much just to get their tickets before the box office even opens.
So does this mean if someone who has not planned ahead wants to go see Harry Potter tomorrow, it will be tough to find a theater that is not already sold out with advance tickets?
The first couple showings, at least, the first couple screenings, I think you would be out of luck. Mm-hmm. People are lining up. They were showing this morning on the news, dudes in tents in front of theaters waiting to get in. Potter Mania, they were calling it.
Well, you can't see it on Saturday or Sunday.
No, it's just that one day, so I can see why they're lining it up. Take a look today. Celebrity birthdays. Vincent Pastore, who played Big Pussy on The Sopranos. He's 65 years old today. Singer, comedian, actor, writer Kyle Gass, our buddy from Tenacious D. Cage is 51 years old today, as is actress Jane Lynch, who will be hosting the Emmys this year. Jackie Earle Haley from The Watchmen and also Human Target. He is 50 years old. Matthew Fox turns 45 years old today. And Taboo of Black Eyed Peas celebrates its 36th birthday.
Yeah.
Do we have any Black Eyed Peas music?
No.
I'm sorry. We sure don't.
We don't.
Well, we'll correct
we'll
that.
We'll get it.
Because we're running a little late. I will make sure to bring in, like, you know,
we'll play 2 days an hour.
Yeah,
to. Yeah, we'll bring in. We'll get this party started.
No worries.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. We have a chance for you to go to LA Rising if you'd like to play a game. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Call now, play a game, win those tickets, along with a barbecue with the band. How about that? So call now and
s'mores? With s'mores?
We'll give you a chance to win. Coming up next on the World Famous K-Rock.
Hey, party people, Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. End of the month could be potentially, and this comes right from their mouths to our ears, Rage Against the Machine's last ever concert. Now,
they say that every time.
Maybe they do.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just trying to sell tickets because they are playing a big room this time around. We're talking about the Los Angeles Coliseum. It is the what we hope will be a first annual LA Rising. Rage Against the Machine, Muse, Rise Against, and more. Tickets are still available, or you can win them right now. 1-800-520-1067. What's the name of this game today, Kevin?
LA Rise String.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Kevin and Bean's LA Rise String. The game in which you attempt to win tickets to LA Rising. All you need to do is to identify the Muse song played by our string quartet. If you're correct, you'll enter into a drawing to win tickets to LA Rising. LA Rise String. Get it? That's funny.
Yeah. I don't.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
That's a great question, Chuck.
They're not involved.
All right, so that's how the game is played then. We play a version of a Muse song by a string quartet. If you know it by title, you are entered into the drawing, and then Lisa will award one lucky Kevin and Bean listener tickets to the show.
Just so you know, these are real. These CDs exist. You could buy a CD of string versions of Muse songs.
Right.
Why? I don't know. All right, let's begin with Crystal. Hi, Crystal.
Hello.
You ready to play LA Rise String?
Yes.
All right, these are Muse songs. All you have to do is tell us the title. Here you go. That would be great if we could continue playing that song and she were on the phone and she could identify it.
What happened? Did she hang up?
No, she didn't hang up. All the entire phone system went dead.
It certainly did.
Everything is dark.
God.
How about that?
That is
bad timing.
Would you say that's good?
I'd say that does not help us complete our goal here, which is give away these tickets.
We did have a full contest planned, and then every single line dropped. All the power went out to our phone system.
They objected to the strings.
They did. They were not happy with it. All right. I think we have Crystal back on the line,
really?
Though. I believe.
That was fast.
Crystal, is this still Crystal?
Yes, Crystal.
A different or the same one?
Same Crystal.
All right.
Well, how did that happen? Well, I guess we don't have time to find out.
All right, so Crystal.
Any idea. Here we go. Going back to you, we're going to start it from the beginning again and play this string quartet version of a Muse popular song. You tell us the title. Here we go.
There you go.
All right, what do you think?
Map of the Problematic.
No, nice guess though.
Yeah, it's Uprising.
That one was Uprising is what we were looking for. But nice guess. At least you came up with a title. Well done. Thank you for the call. Let's try Dennis. Dennis is on line two here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, lesbian phone screener Chip tells me we actually have room for two winners this time around. So we have two winners.
Oh, cool.
So that's good news. I just increased your chances. Dennis, you ready to play?
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Hi there. Here's your string quartet.
What do you say, Dennis?
Knights of Sidonia?
That's a supermassive black hole. Sorry about that. You know, I did actually get an email from somebody saying these CDs could sell because they're in an office. They have to play this type of music. And so they can sneak these songs in, and it'll be the songs they like, even though it's not the version they
like.
Yeah,
I can see that.
The old people can tolerate it, even though you're singing along in your head with music.
The old people won't even know what it is.
Yeah. Right. 0-2 right now. Let's see if Jose can break the streak. Hi, Jose. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to go?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Good morning to you, sir.
All right. Lisa, man.
Good morning.
We're playing... that didn't work.
Jose's doing his own show.
We're playing L.A. Rise String. Here's your song. Relatively easy, I would think.
It
right?
does sound just like the song. What do you say, Jose?
Time is running out.
Yes, it is.
Nicely done.
Let's go ahead and say Jose wins. Let's go ahead and give him tickets. Now we've got one more pair up for grabs here for L.A. Rice.
So
hopefully I'll never have to say that again.
So the next person will win as well? Is that what we're saying?
Next person that gets one right,
All right. Let's go to someone. Hi, someone. What's your name?
Edward.
Edward, hi. You ready to play?
I'm ready and I'm topless.
Okay, yeah. You get extra points already, my friend.
I guess that's good. Here's L.A. Rice String.
What do you think there, Topless?
Undisclosed Desires.
You are unbelievable. Well done. You suffered,
but how about that? Nicely done.
I'm rubbing my breast.
All right.
You're really into this, aren't you? July 30th, Rage Against the Machine, Muse and Rise Against. Tickets are still on sale if you want to see the show. Thanks for playing L.A. Rise String.
That was Kevin and Bean's L.A. Rise String. That still makes me laugh.
Next hour, two great guests coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Mark Burnett will be here. Also, Dr. Drew. One is an actual medical doctor. The other, the host of Celebrity Rehab. So we have that on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how was your weekend, Kevin? Anything interesting happened to you and your lovely bride, say, out on the roads?
What's happening with me and the cops?
What?
I'm running into the police more than ever.
By the way, now, you just told us the story about the appointment for the meeting that you have downtown with you and the police over somebody in your neighborhood possessing a large number of illegal explosive fireworks.
Right, and
you told us about that already.
And I'm a good guy, so I took the fall for that.
Okay.
Because you're the guy who steps up for your neighbor, right?
Right. This is going to be so sweet for those of you that are women who are married to guys, or for that matter, gay couples.
Okay.
And the guy never listens to you. And you give him good advice. And this is going to be so sweet for you. This is revenge. So I'm coming up to an area that's a right turn only. That's ridiculous. Because if you turn right, then you have to go like a quarter of a mile. Then you have to sit at a light. Then you have to make a U-turn. So I usually ignore those and just go left.
Okay.
In this particular case...
How alarming for the person in the lane next to you.
In this particular case... No, when it's
Wait,
open.
Can you stop for 1 second? You usually just ignore right turn only and make an illegal left turn when you get to an intersection like that?
This isn't an intersection. This is just a kind of a street in the middle of a street, so it's not like a light.
Oh, so you don't have lanes next
there's
to
no
you.
There's no light. No.
Okay. Gotcha.
So you can do it if there's no cars going, but there is a median. There is a median that's raised, 4 inches, and then there's dirt, and then there's 4 inches. It's about that high. Well, I have a Range Rover, so I said, I could actually make a left. All I got to do is get up on that median.
So
and
you
then...
weren't surprised by the median. No, I knew it was there.
I knew it was there. And my wife said, and this is where those of you that have significant others that don't listen to you are going to love. My wife says, you can't do that. And I said, don't tell me how to drive.
Wow.
Now, I wasn't that much of a dick, but close.
Wow.
I don't like to be told how to drive. I know what I'm doing, and I figure in any city that's decently sized, what are the chances that the cops are going to come by right at the moment that you're doing something illegal? Pretty small.
Very small. Yeah. In fact, that's why millions of people can talk on their cell phones in the car and only hundreds get tickets because the size of the area and how few police there are. Absolutely. You can get away with most things. If a cop doesn't see you do it, you're usually gone by the time somebody does.
Right. So she says, there's a median there. And I say, I know. I'm cool.
God, that would make me nuts.
I know. It did her too. But this next part of the story is going to make you really happy. So I turned left and I got up on the median and then I was waiting for the cars to come by so that I could then merge on to the other side, right? And the cars wouldn't stop coming. So I'm sitting in the median and sitting and sitting and the cars kept coming. There was no opening for me to get off, so to speak. And right then my wife said, I told... Boom! And it was two motorcycle cops that were coming the opposite direction. And they looked at my dumb ass sitting on top of the median. And one of them, I swear to God, before he pulled over, they both turned on their lights before he turned over. He just shook his head no, like what a moron. Like, we have to stop and give this guy a ticket for this. What an idiot. So they pull me over, and my wife doesn't say a word because inside she's just doing cartwheels. She's so happy because...
Oh, it's New Year's Eve inside your wife at this point. She's having the biggest party of all time right now.
And this happens all the time to her, unfortunately, because I tend to go where I want to go. And I don't like to hear that that's not what you're supposed to do. So she loved it. So the motorcycle cops pulled us over, and he came up to me and he said, "Do you know why I pulled?" He said, kind of rhetorically,
"Yeah,
you know why I pulled you over?"
Because it was pretty obvious that you were sitting in your car on the median side.
Right. So I had my license and my registration. I said, "Yes, I was sitting in the median." And he said, "You know, if you just would have turned right and gone 200 feet," and I said, "I know, my wife just told me that. Please don't tell me that again." And he took the ticket back, and I took my license back, and he wrote me a ticket, and he came up and he said, and he didn't have anything to say. He just handed me the ticket, and he just went back and got it. He was just so, like, disappointed that I was so dumb. Like, what's wrong with these people?
All right, how long did you drive in complete silence after you started up the car again?
It was a while. And then she started talking. I was like, "I got a ticket. I know you." And then this is the important thing to learn when you're a husband or a boyfriend. "I know you were right. I was wrong."
Ooh.
Wow.
Strong words.
But I was forced into it by being pulled over by cops right at the moment she was telling me not to do it.
That is
you had no defense
sweet.
At that point. Yeah. There's nothing you could have seen. There's no way you could have talked your way out of that one with either the cops or with the wife. You were
sunk. Because I was such a dumbass, and it was clear I was a dumbass. To me, to my wife, to the police who
and
were shaking
like
their
such
heads.
An idiot.
What an
on
idiot.
On the median, waiting.
It took
waiting.
Forever. I was like, there's got to be an opening. Come on.
People are driving by. What an idiot.
Everybody that drove by thought, what is that idiot doing?
How often must the police... I mean, the police can't give tickets like that very often. I mean, they were forced
probably
to in your
not.
Case. You were doing everything but put up a neon sign that says, "Arrest me."
Well,
but,
they were
I mean,
forced
how-
to, and they were bummed. Like, he was shaking his head like, "I can't believe I have to pull this guy."
Because that's
up.
A waste of his time.
Yes,
let's
of course.
Face it.
Of course.
But how often do you think tickets like that, crazy tickets, tiny tickets, get given out just because the cops don't have any choice?
Or for stupid reasons.
Yeah, that's what I wonder if we could get calls on that from people who have been in situations like that where they can't believe what they got a ticket for.
But I could believe it. Well, I mean, I couldn't believe it, but I could.
But you were still shocked that they caught you because you thought it would take 15 seconds, and no one would see it, and you'd be out of it.
Right, exactly. You know what? I was completely embarrassed. That's what I was.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed because as they walked up, they were talking to me in the window, and I knew my wife on the right was just... It was the best day of her life. You know what I mean? I knew that. And I'm the one that is the complete idiot, and I knew that as well. So I was talking to the cops, and I was like, "Okay, I get it. I'm an idiot. I'm sorry." So what we need is, what we're looking for to make me feel a little bit better, is the dumbest thing you got a ticket for. The dumbest thing you got a ticket for. It was your fault. You can't possibly blame it on somebody else. You're an idiot. You know you're an idiot. You knew you were an idiot before you made the move, but you figured you could get away with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work out.
It's going to be all guys on the phone.
That way. You think so? It's going to be 100%
pretty
guys?
Sure.
It's going to be the same group that goes to Ralph's movie screenings?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so 1-800-520-1067 if you did something really stupid and you got a ticket for it. Then you can join the ranks of me. Until we close our eyes for good. That's my theme song right there. Ain't no rest for the wicked. It's a world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:37.
Kevin is a dumbass is what we're discussing here on today's all-new Kevin and Bean show. He got a ticket for basically driving up onto the median, waiting to get into a different lane, and just sat there until the police eventually showed up to give him a ticket. Is that fairly accurate the way I described it?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to get into the lane, but the traffic was there. I was there for maybe 2 minutes, just sitting there going, "Oh, come on, give me a space."
That's eternal.
Yeah.
Kevin B. Lister, Mike writes in, "Well, Kevin complains a lot about the way old people drive. What do you have to say now? You make the old people look pretty good."
I wrote back, "I did it fast. They do it 2 miles per hour." That's the difference.
Well, we're taking your calls if you can make Kevin feel a little bit better because of dumb things that you've done that you really can't believe you did and then got a ticket for because they're not the type of thing that you expect a cop to give you a ticket for. But, man, we got some good ones on the phone here. Let's start with Crystal. Crystal's on line 3, and I'm trying to figure this one out. Crystal, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, it was 2 months before my 18th birthday, so I was 17 years old, and I was standing on the sidewalk, and I was holding a cigarette in my hand, was not even lit, didn't even have the lighter out of my purse, and a bicycle cop, if you can believe it,
pulled me over in front of all of my friends and said that he was going to give me a ticket. And I started pleading my case. I said, it's 2 months before my 18th birthday, and I'm not even smoking it. It's not even lit. He couldn't even see the lighter. It was still in my purse, and he still gave me a ticket.
Yeah, there was a big question in his mind whether you were just going to hold it or smoke it.
Nice try, Crystal.
Yeah.
So I know it's against the law for retailers to sell cigarettes to underage people, but it's illegal for underage people to even have possession of tobacco.
Yeah, you can't. You're not even allowed to hold it. You're not even allowed to have it.
I didn't know that.
It wasn't mine.
Does it feel more lame to get a ticket from a bicycle cop?
I say yes.
You just go, wow, a bicycle cop. That hurts. That's even worse.
Thank you, Crystal. Let's talk to Rudy. He's on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rudy, thanks for calling, man. What happened?
Hey, I got a ticket for driving on the wrong side of the road.
Sweet. Was it a side street or a freeway?
It was a regular street. There was a car in the middle and the designated and the center divider.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was right in front of me, so I decided not to wait. So I went on the wrong side, so I cut behind the car, and before I knew it, the cops pulled me over. And
So you were just going around a blockage by going on the wrong side of the road just for a second to get around it?
Yeah, because it was a car, like, trying to turn into the bank.
I got you.
And it was one of those scenarios where you thought, I'm going to get away with this because I'm only going to be in the wrong lane for 2 seconds. What are the chances a cop is around? And sure enough, a cop was around.
Yep, before I knew it, I heard the sirens, they pulled me over, smelled a little weed,
gets better.
It does get better.
Yeah.
You're on weed now, too. Thank you for the call, appreciate that.
And driving. That
was underage girl in the car, and I was 14.
Right. I mean, in your head, you're going, I'm going to get away with this. This is going to be sweet. And then out of nowhere come the police. Yet the same people will complain the police are never around when you need them.
Oh, they're all around, right. People.
Let's try Ken, line 7. Ken, it sounds to me like, dared a cop to give him a ticket. Hi, Ken. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Hi. Me and my best friend Greg a long time ago were on a 2-lane road, and we were in the right-hand lane. And we decided, you know, we need to go back the other direction instead of make a U-turn from the right-hand lane. And as we're making the U-turn, we look over to the left, and we see a cop sitting there, shaking his head, going, mm-hmm.
Ah, so he saw you make a U-turn. Yeah.
We're making a U-turn from a right-hand lane all the way around. Thought we got away with it. Didn't see the cop. What? In a blind spot.
You got away with it?
No. Didn't get away with it. Because didn't see the cop in our blind spot.
Oh, I see.
Oh, you're blind. Okay. I got you.
You didn't know he was there.
I got pulled over many, many years ago for the same thing, for making what was an illegal U-turn from a right-hand lane. I didn't even know you weren't allowed to because, you know, oftentimes you have to get into the right-hand lane in order to have enough room, depending on how wide the street is that you're turning on.
And that's when it's illegal because you shouldn't do that.
No, it was illegal because there was a double yellow line between the traffic that I crossed. That's what made it illegal. I think in some streets, I think you can get away with it if there's not a double yellow
line.
From the right lane, yeah.
If there, I'm saying no.
100% illegal.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know. I haven't tried it much since.
You should try it, Bean. You should. It's fun.
I'll try it right now.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for the call. We got time for a couple more. Let's do Larry. Larry,
nobody has matched my stupidity, have they?
I don't think so.
I think you're still the champion.
Come on now. Larry.
Yes, sir.
Do something worse than me.
I got an indecent exposure ticket with my pants unknowingly falling off.
What? Your pants were unknowingly falling off. Was your hand unknowingly working something else?
No. There's a group of us. We went to a park. It was late night. It was midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. It was probably like 5-6 years ago. Cops came over, and I was in the car with my girlfriend at the time. And we were getting busy. Then cops came up, put their lights in on the car. And then next thing you know, I'm getting pulled out. I'm getting asked to come out, so I quickly button my pants on. I had dinky pants on, so
right.
I just put the top latch on.
Right,
I'm sitting there talking to the cop. He's asking what's going on. Nothing. Next thing you know, my pants fall off. He starts laughing.
Oh, mean they fell off while you were talking to the cop?
Exactly.
Sweet.
And then he gave you a ticket?
He laughed, and he's like, man, I don't want to have to do this, but I got to give you an indecent exposure ticket. I'm like, what's going on here?
That's weak.
What do you mean, what's going on here? What for? What are you talking about? Your pants dropped.
Well, I had my boxers on. I reached down, pick them up real quick. I'm like, what? My boxers are on. There's nothing. I didn't mean to do it. You know that. He's like, yeah, but your thing was hanging out with the condom on still.
Okay, well, all right, now it's not so weak.
Now I see where the officer was coming from.
He's right.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thank you for the call.
Wait, is that worse than me?
That's worse than me.
That is worse than you.
Yes! Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. At least your stuff was still in your pants. Let's close with Rick.
All right.
Let's close with Rick on line two. This has been very entertaining, by the way.
People who do stupid things is always entertaining.
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What'd you get a ticket for?
Well, first of all, I'll start with I hate my job. And okay. So right next to us is an empty parking lot, and I meet my friend there, and sometimes at lunch we'll go out, we'll smoke a quick bowl, and then go back to work.
Sure.
He drives a car he bought at an auction. It's a Crown Victoria. So as soon as a Crown Victoria pulls up next to me and a guy stands at my window, I hand it to him.
Sweet.
And it's a cop.
Yes!
So you thought it was your friend and you handed him a joint?
Yeah, and so all he wrote
Sweet.
Me for was like a quick ticket for possession because I explained to him, I hate my job, I push paperwork, I only got, you know, I'm only at lunch. And he says, yeah, I went through that too. Here's a possession ticket. Don't park in an empty parking lot. It makes you look suspicious.
By the way, this doesn't get said very often, but there are a lot of cops that are really cool.
Yes.
Absolutely.
They're really, like,
absolutely.
He could have given
me a DUI. He could have pulled my work.
Yeah.
But he threw the joint in the gutter.
He could have found the kilos of cocaine in the trunk.
Yeah, he missed that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think most cops are – honestly, I agree with Kevin. I think most cops are rooting for you. They're not out to make your life miserable. They're just out to try to keep the place, you know, straight.
The guy that pulled me over was like – he was shaking his head because he was like, look, I can't believe I have to give you this ticket, but I do, and you're dumb.
Right,
dumb. You know that, right? And I was like, yeah, I know. And so he sort of didn't want to give it to me, and I think that's probably true of most, unless you're driving super dangerously.
Right.
Right. I would have loved to have seen the look on Rick's face, though, when he looked closer and realized it wasn't his friend that he always smokes the bowl with. It was a police officer.
Did you ask for the weed back because you didn't intend to give it to him?
No, I was in shock by that point. I didn't even drive my car to work. I got out and I walked.
Did you ask him if he needs a light?
No.
Okay, just check.
Our old friend, television producer Mark Burnett, joins us after the top of the hour to talk about his new show, which is
Jingles,
called Expedition
which better be
Impossible.
Called Jingles.
It
hey,
better
where's
be called
Jingles? Or else forget him, hanging up on what? Him.
Jingles was the show he told us about like 2 years ago that never got on the air, right?
Never saw Jingles.
But he's got Expedition Impossible, and he's got The Voice, and a bunch of different shows.
It's not Jingle.
Okay.
I know that much.
All right. We'll ask him.
All right. We will ask him what happened to Jingles. Did he spend all of his time on Shark Tank and ignore Jingles?
I love Shark Tank.
I know. So good. All right. That's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Dr. Drew, not really Dr. coming up next.
He is a doctor.
Now, here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
As you know, all week long, I've been giving away tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Captain America, the first Avenger.
You have to say it that way?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Very exciting. It's going to happen at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood. See the captain at the Capitan.
I don't get it.
No. Tuesday, July the 19th. It's in theaters every week. Friday, July the 22nd. I have been coming pretty hard with the fanboy questions.
Yeah.
A lot of Captain America trivia. A
lot of dudes.
And I wanted to loosen it up a little bit in this particular trivia question and focus more on the film Captain America, the First Avenger, versus the comic book character Captain America.
Okay.
Although later in the show today, I will be playing some the greatest dramatic representation of Captain America and Falcon you've ever heard.
Sweet.
But the film is directed by a director named Joe Johnston, who I'm a big fan of. He's directing Captain America First Avenger. Looks terrific. And a lot of fanboys like myself are encouraged by the fact that he is the director of this film because he also directed another classic comic book movie. Now, it wasn't a big hit at the time, but it's since certainly become a cult hit, and it certainly is one of my favorites. If you know the name of the film I'm talking about, call now 1-800-520-1067. Give me the name of the other comic book movie Joe Johnston directed a few years back, but right. If you're a fan of comics, you will know the answer to this. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Let's get to showbiz
news.
No strings attached. That's what it is. I love that comic book. Mm. It's my favorite character. The Emmys were announced today. All the major categories we've been going over all morning long, so I thought I'd change it up a little bit this time and talk about some of the supporting acting nominations, because these people certainly are deserving of our love.
Sure.
And appreciation. In terms of actresses, when it comes to best supporting performance in a drama, Kelly MacDonald from Boardwalk Empire. Boy, is she good on that show.
She's so good.
Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, nominated for Best Supporting Actress for a drama.
If you like that sort of thing.
Whew, she is nuts.
She should get two nominations, right?
She's already got two nominations. Have you seen her lately? There's been a lot of photos of her just out and about. Apparently she's got some clothing line she's putting together, or a shoe line or something. I don't know what it is. But, man.
Yeah.
You take her out of that 1960s gear she wears on that show, and you let her hair down and put a dress on her, she's even more diabolical. Michelle Forbes from The Killing, also nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Archie Punjabi from The Good Wife. She's terrific on that show as Kalinda. Margot Martindale from Justified is nominated. And Christina Baranski, also from The Good Wife, nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Best Supporting Actor in Drama, John Slattery as Roger Sterling in Mad Men. Boy, he may be one of my favorite actors, period, on television. He's always entertaining. Andre Brower of Men of a Certain Age, he's nominated. Walter Goggins for Justified. Peter Dinklage for Game of Thrones. Josh Charles for The Good Wife. And Alan Cumming for The Good Wife. Good Wife doing very well for itself. Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy, Jane Lynch for Glee. Betty White for Hot in Cleveland.
F you.
Julie, now, why would you say that, Kevin? She's very good on that show.
Oh, Bean, come on.
She is very, it's a show that very funny on that
watches.
Show.
It's just okay. It's not
Emmy
worthy.
You can say Friday Night Lights is a show that nobody watches. Doesn't mean there's not good acting on it.
Yeah, but she's just one of those, she's hot at the moment because she's old and she says some spicy things.
Do you think Friday Night Lights is just an okay show, Bean?
No, I think it's brilliant.
You think Hot in Cleveland is a brilliant comedy?
No.
That's what I'm saying. It's not Emmy worthy.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
That too. Julie Bowen for Modern Family. Now that's a performance on a show.
She's great.
She's great.
Kristen Wiig for Saturday Night Live. How about that? It's a little stepping outside the zone here by nominating a Saturday Night Live performer. You don't see that very often.
She's one of those performers on Saturday Night Live, and you know this, Ralph, about Kristen, is even the okay material she manages to make interesting because she's so talented.
Absolutely. Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock and Sofia Vergara for Modern Family nominated. Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy, John Cryer for 2 and a Half Men. How about that? They got to give it to him this year. There's nobody else.
Why is he supporting? I would think he would be co...
You're whatever you submit yourself for.
Oh, so he submitted himself as.
I'm guessing the producers submitted him as supporting because they thought he'd have a better shot at winning an award, I'm guessing.
I got you.
He is co-star on that show, but that's what he's nominated for. Chris Colfer for Glee, and then the rest is just a Modern Family fest. Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Ed O'Neill, Eric Stone Street, and Ty Burrell all nominated from
great.
Modern Family.
Wow.
All great, absolutely. I mean, that might be, that and 30 Rock for me vies for the best written comedy on television. It's pretty remarkable. Yeah. The stuff they come up with week after week after week. Really impressive stuff. Do we have a winner to my trivia question?
We do.
Bobby on line 2. Bobby, what was the name of the other comic book movie that director Joe Johnston helmed?
The Rocketeer.
The Rocketeer! Oh, I love that movie.
Me too.
Love me that movie. Jennifer Connelly's in it, Kevin.
I don't remember that movie.
Jennifer Connelly's in it.
Then I'm in.
And like a young, not anorexic Jennifer Connelly, too.
Oh, then
like
I need more.
Like a slightly chubby, big, busty Jennifer Connelly.
She needs to have a meal.
She sure does. Yeah. Bobby, congratulations.
That movie is 20 years old, isn't it, Ralph?
It is 20 years old. Kevin Smith just did an event where they honored it, and they had a bunch of people from the show talking about it, and they had a big thing happen in Hollywood about that film. So Joe Johnston returns to comic books with Captain America, The First Avenger. Bobby, hold on. We'll give you all the details, but you're going to the red carpet world premiere, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Sir.
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 No sirs here, by the way. Never call us sir.
You can call me sir.
None of us deserve sir.
I like sir. I appreciate
you don't deserve sir.
I am sir.
Not a bit.
Speaking of Kevin Smith, this Saturday night at the John Lovitz Comedy Club, of course, we're doing Hollywood Babylon, our live entertainment news broadcast.
So it's Friday and Saturday this week?
No, it is Saturday.
Oh.
Saturday night at the John Lovitz Comedy Club.
Okay.
Me and Kevin
But
Smith
then you're going back to
Babylon.
Sundays after this weekend,
no,
right?
No, Saturday. Saturday, Saturday.
Okay.
And then we're doing Comic-Con. We'll be down there Comic-Con weekend. But this is our last weekend in LA
for a while.
I wonder
if you're going to pull any audience at Comic-Con.
I don't know if we have any people who would share in our viewpoint.
Probably be empty.
You can go to babbleonralph.com if you want to buy tickets for this Saturday show. Today's celebrity birthday is Vincent Pastore. He was Big Pussy on The Sopranos. He's 65. Kyle Gass, our buddy KG. From Tenacious D is 51. Jane Lynch, nominee for an Emmy, is 51 years old. Jackie Earle Haley is 50. Matthew Fox is 45. And Black Eyed Peas member Taboo celebrates his 36th birthday. Still no Black Eyed Peas.
Nope. You need to walk down to Omar and say, I,
do
Omar.
You have to hum to get a Black Eyed Peas song around here?
It's Omar. You need to walk down there and say, Omar, I need Black Eyed Peas.
I'm going to go rough him up. I'm Ralph Garman.
Tell him to get Time of My Life, too, because that's the most offensive. The one. That's the most offensive, horrible song they do. It's just, it's a joke.
Yeah, it's like the Bee Gees singing Time of My Life.
And I don't hate them, but I hate that song.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are a little bit cursed today with our phones. Yeah. I don't know what's happening, but we're definitely having some trouble here. By the way, if we need to bump, thanks for that tweet, Bean, to we talk don't. To Mark. In the next break, we can do that. I'm willing to give that feature
plenty
up.
Plenty of time. Thanks for that tweet, Bean, on the way.
All right, while Muggs is dialing, let me remind you that tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to be talking to Corey Taylor, lead singer of Slipknot.
Fantastic.
We also got Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 on the show tomorrow. He is going to be joining us as we world premiere, Kevin, the brand new song from Blink-182.
Yeah! Can't wait.
Talk about a record we've been waiting for a long time. Up All Night is new Blink-182, and we'll have Mark Hoppus on with us tomorrow to world premiere that. Comedian Eddie Izzard in studio with us tomorrow, too, and it's Friday. That means the movie beat.
All right, all right. Bean, we have him on the line, so...
Take two.
Ralph's talking about the Emmy nominations. Big site, Nate Hollywood. Speaking of Emmys, here's a man who's won a few of his own. Mark Burnett joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Mark?
Doing great. Thanks so much for having me back on.
No worries. Dude, you know you're always welcome on the show. We always have so much ground to cover with you. How you been? What's going on, man?
Been a little busy this year doing The Voice, which was a lot of fun, which I guess you saw that, which was great fun, and was over in Morocco shooting a new expedition series for ABC.
Let me ask you about The Voice, because when you came up with the idea, you know, a lot of people had to say, oh, you want to go up against American Idol with the same sort of show, and you had to explain the differences, but I'm sure there was some reluctance.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really reluctant. I'd seen the show in Holland that this format was based upon, and in fact, my kids said to me, Dad, are you serious? Going to put a music show on up against Idol? And I said, go on YouTube, look up Voice of Holland, you tell me. All the kids came down and said, you've got to do this show, it's so different. So I knew from a bunch of teenagers it was worth doing.
Huh. And I guess the biggest roadblock beyond the Idol comparisons is working with that diva Carson Daly, right? I mean, that guy's got to be a pain in your ass.
That was the most difficult part of the entire thing.
Mark, if you don't mind a suggestion, I think you should move that red button a little closer to CeeLo.
Yeah.
He does seem to have trouble reaching the button sometimes.
His arms are a little shorter than most. That's all I'm saying.
All right, let's talk about a couple of other shows.
Because he can't quite reach all the way.
No, we
got
it, Kevin. We got it.
All right.
You mentioned you've been in Morocco for Expedition Impossible, and I wasn't surprised to see you behind this show, Mark, because I remember years and years ago when we used to have you on with the Eco Challenge. It seems like, you know, you were going all over the world and people were doing crazy stuff. I mean, this has been the kind of show that you've been interested in being involved with for a long time. How did you go about making it different from Amazing Race, which has been the gold standard of this sort of program for so many seasons?
Well, you know, it's because people, you know, Amazing Race, I love that show. And, you know, but it's, you know, a lot of airports and flying and taxis. I wanted to make a show where people were actually going to do big adventures, like how they rode camels across the desert, whitewater rafting through valleys, and in this week's episode, actually leaving the Sahara Desert behind and crossing snow-capped mountains. So it was actually doing big, big, authentic adventures.
The difference is that Amazing Race is all in the middle of cities, and this is in the middle of nowhere, and these challenges are very difficult for these people to handle.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. I mean, I chose people who were very ordinary people who weren't expert mountaineers. So you get the great drama. I mean, families. I mean, you got a grandfather with his granddaughter, his son. You've got a bunch of sisters from Kansas or young girls. One of them, who was only 18, was missing her high school prom to be there.
Sweet.
And then you have another team of ex-NFL players, which sounds like they'd be good, yeah, on a football field, but in the mountains and the deserts and on a horse, I don't think so.
Is the team with the grandpa, did they go, hey, grandpa, listen, we love you, but you might slow us down on Expedition Impossible.
Yeah, well, Grandpa, we can't bring an extra supply of Depends for you.
Right, exactly. It seems like perhaps they're at a disadvantage.
But this is interesting to me, Mark, and you're one of those guys who's always, you know, so upbeat and so positive, and you seem to believe the best in people, and you do a great job of casting on all of your shows. I mean, that's the secret ingredient, let's face it. It's the people you pick as contestants. That's why we all fell in love with Survivor back in the day. But are you, at this point, I mean, do you just accept that people can do more, can accomplish more than even they believe they can, and that's half the fun for you is seeing them up against impossible circumstances, and they're able to overcome them?
Yeah, well said. That's exactly what I'm trying to accomplish. And I really, you know, I don't do lowest common denominator shows. I really don't want negative shows. People can do way, way more than they think. I mean, they say like a person gives up when they're about half done and a racehorse will run till it dies. I want to see people give a bit more of themselves, and that's why, you know, when I first did Survivor, people thought I was completely crazy, that how would they possibly go without the food and stuff on the island for 39 days, and Expedition Impossible, they're really crossing hundreds of miles of mountains and deserts, people almost straight off the couch, but they did it.
Wow, and I got to tell you, it's also the dynamic, the psychology between the teams, where some of them, I guess if one of them quits, the team's disqualified. And, you know, making those decisions under that kind of stress, you can see the dynamic between them and who's more powerful and who complains more, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's fascinating, too.
Yeah, because if you're on your own, you'd much more easily quit. But when you're with your best friends or family, and if you quit, everybody's going home, it's way, way more pressure.
Sure, sure.
You must have some sort of a plan in place in the event of actual danger. If somebody really is in trouble out there, at some point you'll swoop in and rescue them, and they'll just be eliminated because they fail because they get too sick or something like that. I mean, I imagine that would be a very difficult decision for you to do, to interfere with the game, but you would if you had to, right, Mark?
Yeah. We have a couple of helicopters, and we have a medical team with two emergency room doctors, a bunch of nurses and paramedics, mountain guides. So everything's really well planned, but it's like on Survivor, the same thing, that you don't know if someone will get bit by a shark, and in the case of this show, you don't know if someone's going to, you know, fall off a camel and hurt themselves badly.
Right.
So you can only plan ahead, but the adventure is authentic, and I think, even though it's dangerous, I think there's a duty to those taking part to make it a real adventure with the safety net around them.
This is the voice of our friend Mark Burnett on the Kevin and Bean Show. Expedition Impossible airs Thursday nights. That's tonight, 9 o'clock on ABC. Mark, before you go, our friend Ralph Garman, who you know, insists that we ask you if there's any update on the show you got us so excited about a couple years ago called Jingles. Where the hell is it?
I'm not sure Jingles will see the light of day.
Come on! You got us excited about that.
I know. I made it, but, you know, many, many shows get made and piloted that never get on TV.
All
I think, sadly, Jingles will be one of those.
So goodbye to that.
That's great. Right. Well, if you don't mind, if you've got the copy of what you gave to the network, if you could send us over a DVD so Ralph could stop fretting over it, we'd appreciate it very much, Mark.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Mark.
Always great talking to you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
It was great to have
Take
you
care, sir. Bye. Dr. Drew joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In the next hour, Ralph has something especially prepared for you Captain America fans. Maybe a side of the Cap you have not yet heard. That's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ralph's calling him the Cap now. Strong.
Yeah.
I'm Bean, by the way.
Bean's calling Cap now. That's strong. Sorry, Ralph. That's offensive, isn't it?
How dare you, sir?
I know.
How dare you, sir?
It's time for a lovely feature that we like to call
Bachelor
Tweet.
Bean!
Oh, come on with this. We don't have to do this.
We didn't think it was worth putting together an all-new intro, so
Bachelor Tweet. Bean!
He's on fire lately.
Bean is on fire lately, yeah.
You want one of his tweets?
Please.
At SeaTac Airport, just had TSA guy ask if anyone knew where he could get a Prozac as he's stressed out. Entrapment? Do I look like a dealer?
Really? Did you think he thought you were a dealer?
Well, it just seemed very odd to me.
He's a cop and he's going to bust you for that?
I don't know. What was the last time you went through an airport security line and the TSA guy asked you for drugs? It just seemed weird to me. I was a little nervous because, you know, I did have a few on me, so.
Do I look like a dealer or I am incapable of recognizing a joke?
I didn't read that part, but maybe I should have.
What happens when I get up too early for work and have internet time to kill? Well, someone just bought the complete Gilmore Girls on DVD.
Why do you refer to yourself as someone? Why do you do that?
That's a comedy device, Kevin. But I did buy the Gilmore Girls complete box set of DVD.
If I die, I never liked any of you, really. If I live, you guys are the best friends, fans, family, and coworkers a man could ask for.
This is when you thought you were going to die from your leg?
This is when I thought I had a blood clot heading straight to my brain. I was going to have a stroke and die this week. I just wanted to say goodbye properly to people. There's nothing wrong with that tweet.
Yeah.
You're not coming down on that one, I hope.
My dog Atomic is so old. I only buy his dog food 1 week at a time. Then sneak the little bag into the house so he doesn't know.
Really?
Well, because if he sees that I'm buying less food, he's going to realize what's up.
He's not going to know you're buying less food. He's a dog.
You don't know, man. You don't know.
If you're in the minority of Americans setting off personal fireworks all weekend, do you think your neighbors enjoy it? Do you care?
Oh, Angry Bean. Sweet.
That's that tweet. Bean.
I can only speak for myself.
Just asking the question.
I can only speak for myself when I say that my neighbors helped me purchase the small amount of fireworks that I had.
Sparklers.
They were very happy about it.
Warning to my neighbors. If you don't start picking better Netflix movies, I am going to stop stealing your mail.
That's that tweet.
Really?
Well, that tweet must have been for a couple weeks ago, because after the price increase this week, I canceled my Netflix subscription, so we don't have to worry about that problem anymore.
Has a celebrity ever gone on Dr. Drew's VH1 Celebrity Rehab because he or she is addicted to Dr. Drew's VH1 Celebrity Rehab? Hashtag, it could happen.
That's that tweet.
Bean.
Really, Bean?
What?
That's that
tweet.
Bean.
You mean what?
I was at a record store today and heard a woman say to her friend, "Don't dog on Meatloaf or I'll kick your ass." Same goes for this guy.
You do not refer to yourself as this guy. You don't refer to yourself as this guy ever.
Why? I am this guy.
Yeah, but you don't refer to yourself that way.
I'm saying I'm with her. You don't dog on the loaf. That's all I'm saying.
The loaf blows. What are you going to do, kick my ass?
Yes, I am.
Ralph, what do you think about the loaf?
I think he blew.
That's that tweet.
Bean. No, I was hoping for Ralph, not Bean.
I think he blows.
All right.
I love the music and the interviews on VH1 Behind the Music Meatloaf, but shouldn't it be in HD by now? Hashtag 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
That's that tweet.
Bean.
He is clapping for himself.
I forgot about that one. That's pretty funny.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Because the music is fun and the interviews are fun, but it's not in high def.
But do you want to see Meatloaf in high def now?
I want to see everything in high def. I can't watch SD anymore. I'm spoiled.
Listen to how much he's laughing at his own tweets.
I know.
Because
HD, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. But
that was popular Meatloaf song. Ralph, come on. You're with me.
Can we put tweets in the file?
That's this thing on.
Always exciting to talk to our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky on the Kevin and Bean Show. I think this is this could be the first time we've talked to him since he was on that jury that acquitted Casey Anthony, if I recall. Right, Kevin? Let her out on the street. Let the murderer walk free.
Not positive he was in the jury.
Hey, Dr. Drew. How are you, man?
Hey, Bean. It is exciting to talk to you.
I would like to talk to Dr. Drew, though, about he spends his entire life getting people off being hooked on things.
Yes. Right.
You hooked my wife on the Casey Anthony trial. That was your fault.
I apologize.
She watched every night, and she would call her friends.
I know.
And she would say, "What did Dr. Drew say?" It's your fault. You need some kind of rehab for that.
We're going to have Casey Anthony rehab. That'll be a new program coming out in the fall of 2013.
All right,
but Dr. Drew, you and I spoke at the big summer rock show this year, and I said to you, "What's up with Casey Anthony? Why will people not stop watching and not stop talking about this?" And you said, "Bean, even I can't figure out why it's the national obsession that it is." But I mean, I imagine your ratings are through the roof ever since that verdict came down, right?
Yes. I mean, Bean, you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't understand it. And that was before it really got bad, frankly.
Yeah.
And that was
right.
Like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And, you know, the HLN asked us to please cover it, and we said, all right, we'll do a half hour on it. And, yes, our ratings doubled just with mentioning it, and wow. Then it went crazy from there. So we thought, okay, people want to hear about this. I don't understand. I guess it's just sort of the perfect storm of people are frustrated. The economy is awful. They want a place to vent their anger. Here's a woman that clearly, you know, people have a special enmity for young women that use their sexuality and are hot and they use it inappropriately.
Yeah.
Here is a woman who lost a child and then starts acting out and partying after that. That's the part that outraged people. And then here you have a little child at the center of the story. You have a violation of the primary relationship of life, which is the relationship with the mother, and then a courtroom drama and a dysfunctional family. It's everything you need for daytime drama.
I know it's an old story, but your thoughts on the verdict?
I personally wasn't that surprised. I couldn't connect the dots myself.
Okay.
So I wasn't surprised.
Your thoughts on who killed the baby?
Oh, she was involved with it, but I believe it was probably an accident. And I don't know if the family's involved. I keep thinking there was some other male involved with it that we haven't heard from yet, but who knows?
Now, I do have to play a clip because you saw the clip of Angry Grandpa, and you played it on your show.
Oh, yeah.
Angry Grandpa's a guy who, I guess they take him off his meds and he goes crazy.
Kevin, you made me very happy to play Angry Grandpa.
Oh, I love him so much.
I want you to know something. We're going to have Angry Grandpa himself on my show tomorrow night.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Yes, so this guy was yelling. He was watching the verdict, and he couldn't believe he was cursing and yelling. And then Dr. Drew played a clip of Angry Grandpa. Now, what you're about to hear is Angry Grandpa angry at Dr. Drew for playing his clip about being angry.
You won Dr. Drew last night.
Dr. Who?
Dr. Drew.
Well, as you can see,
I like Dr. Drew.
Angry Grandpa was a little upset there over the verdict, and I want to see...
You got your butt, I was upset!
Please calm down.
You calm down, Dr. Drew. What is your motherfucking problem? I ain't laying on your goddamn couch. I ain't sitting in your motherfucking chair, and I ain't down there in California with your goddamn drug heads, and I ain't no goddamn teen mom that kills her kid and walks.
That's the greatest thing ever.
they weren't doing this kind of programming on Headline News before Dr. Drew got there. I'll tell you that. One more question.
He has those great radio sensibilities. Of course, you guys aired on your show. I aired on mine.
He's the best.
Exactly.
He's awesome. That guy.
Let me ask you one more question on this topic, and then we'll move on and talk celebrity rehab stuff with our friend Dr. Drew and the Kevin Bean Show. And that is, have you been able to diagnose what's wrong with Nancy Grace yet?
Poor Nancy. You know, Nancy.
No, not poor Nancy.
No.
Nancy should die.
No, I know it's a little shrill, but first of all, I'm delighted to follow on the heels of Nancy and to try to make sense of whatever story she's reporting on. But she here's the thing I finally discovered about Nancy is she is so into this stuff because she herself was this sort of lonely prosecutor being beaten up by defense teams forever. And she has a very personal investment in this. So I get it now why she's so upset about this.
But I don't understand why, with all of her experience as an attorney, she could be that surprised by the jury's verdict. As you know, many of the jurors have said already, they couldn't even prove that little girl was murdered, much less that this person killed her. I mean, you have to acquit in that case, and Nancy knows that. Isn't she just trumping the whole outrage up for ratings?
I don't know about for ratings, but I think she is emphasizing the outrage, yes.
I wish that the jury had come back with whatever they came back for Casey Anthony, and then they would have convicted Grace. Because she wants, I sound like old grandpa when I'm watching her.
at least we didn't hook your wife on Nancy, or did I?
No way.
Okay.
No, she's got some taste.
All right, let's talk about Celebrity Rehab Season 5, currently airing Sunday nights on VH1. Is it true, the story that we reported last week, and we're about 50-50 on Ralph's reports, but is it true that this is the final season of Celebrity Rehab for the nearby, as far as we can see, into the soon-to-be future?
You know, I found that report rather bizarre because nobody has talked to me about whether there is or is not a future.
First of all, that was a great question.
Yeah, I know.
It was well asked.
Well,
second of all, go ahead. Wait, nobody's talked to you about that?
There's a career ahead in radio. But here's the deal. I'm busy right now. This is a show that doesn't have hiatus. We do them when there's time and when there's need. And right now I'm a little busy, so I won't be doing them right now. I am concerned about taking on another 8 or 10 people because, you know, we've done pretty well so far. And every time I just worry that we're going to get, you know, a group that maybe isn't as agreeable for treatment or who knows what can happen. And so I'm concerned about more. But, you know, if the time comes and when there's time, we'll do more, I'm sure.
Your article in GQ magazine that's on newsstands now with Mila Kunis on the cover, I think the statistic in the piece was 20% stay clean. Is that sound about right, doctor?
That's about right in every treatment program. We do a little better than that in celebrity rehab, actually. And
oh,
by the
okay.
way, here's, I've got something to say. Yeah. Poor Rodney King, who I yes. love everyone loves. Rodney had a relapse and a DUI on the heels of that relapse.
I loved him so much.
He is still the same guy.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the deal. This bizarre. I get all this weird feedback like, oh, your treatment sure do work. They failed. What? No, look, if somebody's an alcoholic like Rodney, they must do their treatment every day of their life just the way a diabetic must take their insulin. If they choose not to follow my recommendations and not to do what we tell them, they will relapse. My job is not to tell people how to live their life. It's how to stay sober. And if they don't want to do it, or they, for whatever reason, don't, they're going to relapse, and that's the nature of this condition. They relapse, they learn their lesson, they come back, they get back in the game. And so let's just say a prayer for Rodney. He'll be fine.
Dr. Drew, we're in our final moments here talking about the HLN show, Dr. Drew, which airs weeknights on Headline News at 9 and then Celebrity Rehab Sunday nights on VH1. You know, every year, I know one of the reasons you wanted to do Celebrity Rehab is you want to say, look, people are always laughing and making fun of these celebrities. When you see their real stories, their real struggles, that they are real human beings with painful conditions, it will change your impression about it. And that has absolutely been the case. And no one has broken my heart this season more than Dwight Gooden.
Yeah.
Because you talk about a guy who had everything. He was the toast of the sports world when he was pitching for the Mets. And what was he, like 19 or something? He won the Cy Young?
Drew? Dwight is one of the greatest guys ever.
And threw it all away to the point where he couldn't function as a human being anymore and lost everything. I mean, this guy should have had the greatest baseball career ever, and he just torched himself.
He torched himself, and he feels horrible about it. But right now, I can tell you, Dwight is doing fantastic, and hopefully he'll continue. We don't know.
Keep
doing a lot of hard work. But I think that's generally the note for this season. People are going to feel, you're going to feel a lot differently about Amy Fisher in a couple of weeks.
You said we were going to feel a lot different about Michael Lohan.
You are going to.
And I would like to say,
overruled.
Not yet.
But even if you come to grips with your demons, and even if you beat your addiction, Drew, how do you psychologically get past, I have wasted the best part of my adult life?
Well, first of all, I'll take issue with this beaten addiction. That's a bizarre concept to me, but it's just, if you stay sober, part of it is coming to terms with the carnage and the wreckage of your past and what your disease has done with you, and just being grateful to still be alive and be sober. That's what people find. And they look at it, and it's sad, and it's awful, but they find happiness in the moment with their family, with their recovery, and that's enough.
Excellent work, Dr. Drew. We'll have to leave it there. As always, thank you for being on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Guys, talk to you soon.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Is it true that this is the final season of Celebrity Rehab for the nearby, as far as we can see, into the soon-to-be future?
That was a moment with Bean.
Wow.
Yes.
The best of the year so far.
Never has the future had so many adjectives attached to it.
I think I do have a blood clot. It's in my brain because I've rarely had as much trouble as I've had this week on the radio. But
everybody else has excuses. Not me. I own up to it. I'm bad.
Well, you're the champ.
Oh, I got a fly.
No, I'm just saying I'm not usually generating as many moments with as I have this week, and I don't know what's going on with me. I'm trying to figure out what's different. I think maybe it's the fact that I'm going to die. If you're like many of us, looking forward to Captain America opening up this weekend.
Captain America!
We have something very special for you that Ralph the Comic Book Geek has prepared. Captain America, as you've never heard him before, coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Would you say that's accurate, Ralph?
It is accurate. Just to clarify, opens up next weekend. Just so that you
next weekend, I apologize. Sorry.
This is Potter weekend. Next weekend is Captain America.
That's right. Boy, every weekend's huge this week when it's summertime, I guess.
I can't remember this many giant blockbuster-type franchise movies opening up in rapid succession as I do this summer. It's crazy.
Insane. All right, so that's on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and your LA Rising tickets next half hour as well. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat.
Biggest showbiz news of the morning has been the Emmy nominations. We've been talking about them all morning, so maybe you've heard about them by now. I don't have time to go through all of them. They're online if you want to find them. But the reason I did want to bring up the Emmys is because our good buddy Seth Green is nominated for 3 Emmys this year. How about that?
Good delivery.
Seth's nominated for Outstanding Animated Program for Robot Chicken Star Wars Episode 3, which came out on DVD and Blu-ray on Tuesday. Outstanding Animated Program Short Form for Robot Chicken, the Christmas Special. And for Outstanding Voiceover Performance for Robot Chicken. So congratulations, Seth.
on your many, many Emmy nominations.
Nicely done.
Nicely done.
Is
indeed.
He going to be part of the Kevin Bean Comic-Con broadcast next week, Ralph?
He's going to be sitting down with me on Thursday morning when I'm broadcasting live from the Comic-Con. Right. And you guys are coming down on Friday, but he'll be joining me on Thursday from there, and we can all hang out.
We'd come down on Thursday as well, but we'd just get swamped if we were there 2 days.
I know,
with
the fans won't leave you alone.
Yeah. We can only do one day.
You guys should just get a booth and do a signing next year. You should just get a booth on the floor of the con so everybody can come down and see you.
Douchebags.
While we're talking about the Emmys, who does Fringe have to hum in order to get a little recognition? That show has been blanked every year it's been on. Who is better than John Noble is as not only Walter Bishop, but alternate Bishop on that show? His acting's amazing.
No one. No one's better at that role.
Well, I don't mean that role in particular. He gives an amazing performance week in and week out on that show. The show, I think, deserves an nomination.
I agree.
Anna Torv, Joshua Jackson, all great.
I agree.
I'm just so bummed again. This year, they just got passed over in a big, big way.
It's really wrong.
You hear me, Academy? You're wrong.
Wrong, sir.
More TV news last night. Did you guys, don't watch America's Got Talent, do you?
Occasionally.
No. Remember last year, I fell in love with this little Jackie Ivanko? She was, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
9 or 10 years old, but she was an opera singer. Little tiny little blonde girl would come out and just blow up on the stage with this amazing voice that she had.
Right.
Well, this year I got a new crush. Her name is Anna Graceman. She is 11 years old.
Okay.
She plays piano and sings. And listen, a lot of 11-year-olds sit down at the piano and sing and play.
Not good.
Not good. They don't sound like this girl.
99% not.
She
not
got
good.
She got voted through last night. She's moving on to the next round, and it's stunning the level of talent this girl has at 11 years old. She sounds like one of those. They say old souls, you know, where you got somebody who just has some kind of wisdom beyond their years. Her talent is ridiculous.
So she's playing the piano and singing at the same time.
She accompanies herself on the piano, and she sings. And this is, I think, a little taste to give you an idea. This is from her first audition where she did Alicia Keys. But listen to this girl, and just keep in mind, she's tiny and she's 11.
Some people want diamonds, some just want anything, but anything means nothing if I ain't got you.
Just give her 11. The award. Give her the award.
She's a little tiny white girl. A little tiny 11-year-old white girl.
What's the award? What do they give them? A medallion? What do they win?
Yes, they get a medallion,
Give
Kevin.
Her the medallion.
Medallion and a fruit basket, if I'm not mistaken.
Give her that right now.
No, you get a $1 million contract and your own show in Vegas.
Vegas? She wouldn't be allowed in Vegas.
Well, they allow children in Vegas.
They cut them off right at the border.
I don't think they do.
Don't let them in.
And
checkpoints.
Jackie Ivanko, she got a record deal out of it. She's working with... oh, who's that big-time record producer guy?
David Foster.
David Foster, that's it, yeah. She just had a hit album she put out.
Man, there are people like this that come along, and they just have natural talent that is way beyond their years.
It's incomprehensible. You really don't know where that comes from. It's not, I don't know, is it genetic, or is there something else going on? Is it spiritual? Is it reincarnation? Was she a singer in another life, and it's bleeding through in this
world?
How
come none of us got it?
I don't know. Why did we get no talent, and some little kids get so much talent? It's BS, man. All right, let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. Vincent Pastore, he was Big Pussy on The Sopranos. He's 65 years old today. Singer-comedian Kyle Gass, our buddy Cage from Tenacious D, is 51. Jane Lynch, who was nominated for an Emmy this year for Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy. She'll also be hosting the Emmys in September on Fox. She's 51. Jackie Earle Haley from Human Target and from Watchmen. He played Rorschach in that film. He's 50 years old. Matthew Fox from Lost is 45. And Taboo from Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
There it is.
Let's go. Let's get this party started.
Yeah.
Do it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Uh-huh.
Let's do
That's
it.
That's right.
Let's go.
Feeling
that tonight's gonna be a good night.
Come on, Bean.
Oh, come on. That's good.
Why do you not like fun?
That makes me want to shake my ass. That music makes me want to shake my ass. You can't hear that song and not want to just get on the dance floor.
That may be their best song, but it's still shite.
What?
Do it.
What about these lyrics?
Yeah. Let's do it.
This guy has a feeling
that tonight's gonna be a good night.
Come on, Fergie, bring it home. And the lead singer has a metal plate in his head.
He does.
That's amazing. He can do all that with a giant metal plate
Some
on his
kind of
head.
Accident, lost half his
face.
Yeah,
I don't know. He's like a cyborg or something.
Is it just a crazy costume that Will.i.am wears?
He's got a platinum head.
Give him credit for having a platinum head, for
That's
God's
right.
sake.
He's got a platinum skull, and he
What's
still
the guy
makes
have
that
to
music.
Do?
Are we going to have to celebrate all four of the Black Eyed Peas birthdays every year with a musical
yes.
tribute?
Yes!
Just because you hate him so much.
Wait till I get to Fergie. I'm going to wet myself when I'm announcing her birthday. No pun intended. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Ralph has joined us in studio because he is Captain America fan number one, I imagine, because I know how much you're excited you are about this movie coming out next weekend.
I am. We've been talking about Captain America, the first Avenger, the new film that's going to be coming out on the 22nd in theaters everywhere. It is Chris Evans, of course, as Captain America. Joe Johnston's directing. It looks like a great, great film. But this is not the first time Captain America has been dramatized for the masses. There was a film in 1990 that never got released in the United States.
Oh, is that a good sign?
Because they looked at it and said, maybe not so much. It was starring Matt Salinger, who was the son of J.D. Salinger, the guy who wrote Catcher in the Rye, the author. He played Captain America, and it's going to be on DVD. I think it's already out on DVD, maybe this week or maybe next week. But you got to catch it. It's so
worth
funny,
getting because of how bad it is.
Cheesy, funny. The Nazi villain, Captain Red Skull, is played by an Italian guy.
Sweet.
So it's like, hey, what are you doing, Captain America? Hey. It's pretty hilarious. You got to check that out. There were two TV movies even before that starring a guy named Reb Brown during like the Incredible Hulk years. They tried to do Captain America on television, and they gave him like a motorcycle helmet with wings on the side, and his shield was see-through. They really honked it up.
Yeah.
But even before that, and sometimes when you think of a character, you can think back to your childhood, and there's stuff that made an impression on you that lasts forever. When I think of Captain America, I think of this record I got from an older neighbor next door. He gave me this record that was a comic book and record set. They used
was that
to sell
payment
these
for services rendered?
No, he knew I was a comic book geek, and he was growing out of it, so he gave it to me. But they used to make these comic book and record sets where there'd be a comic book, an actual comic book, and then a record you play along with it that had a dramatization of what was going on in the comic book.
So you could listen
so
to it.
You could follow along. It was like for kids to teach kids how to read and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And this came, I guess it was in the 70s they used to make these things. It was called Power Records. And here's the intro for the one with Captain America.
Power Records presents Captain America and the Falcon in And a Phoenix Shall Arise.
Now, the Falcon is Captain America's black sidekick.
Okay.
And this comic book was from the 70s.
Early 70s?
Early 70s.
Okay.
And I think they thought that every black guy in the 70s talked like Shaft.
Oh, no.
Or Superfly.
Did they really?
Because when you hear how they're dramatizing this, the things they make him say and how they make him say it, it's just a bunch of white guys who have no idea how black people sound.
Is it a black guy that's doing
it? No, it's a white voice actor.
It's a white guy.
And
oh,
the guy who played
no.
Captain America is trying so hard to sound heroic. And the whole thing just ends up being hysterical when you listen to it as a grown-up.
Oh, no.
Here's the first scene where Captain America's kind of depressed about the fact that he was trapped in ice in the 40s, and now he's woken up in modern times, and he feels out of sorts, and he's kind of depressed.
I can't shake it tonight. The feeling that I'm a walking anachronism. A guy who looks like he's 20, even though he was fighting Hitler's horde some 30 years ago.
Huh? Now, what made that old bugaboo creep up on you all over again?
A lot of things, maybe. All adding up.
Okay. So you were on ice for 20 years. But why pick tonight for this out-of-my-time jazz to get you down?
I don't know. It's just a feeling I've got. Like something's about to happen, but I don't know what.
What brought that old bugaboo up, Cap?
Wow! How did that pass even then?
Very much. You're right about that, Ralph. Yeah. Totally has that vibe.
Wow.
Well, Captain America is right. They get attacked from afar from a laser blast. It turns out to be this evil arch villain called the Phoenix.
Falcon, duck! Ah, that's what I call cutting in close. You okay, old buddy?
Feeling no pain. Not yet, anyhow. But if that big bang had come one inch nearer, what was it, anyhow? Some kind of ray?
Sure looks like it. We're both lucky it didn't.
Luck had nothing to do with it, fool.
Cap, look, up there.
I see, Val. I see.
Do you? Do you really? Then know that your treacherous eyes gaze upon the face and form of the Phoenix.
The Phoenix!
Bean and I could be in this.
Yes, you could.
As bad
we
as
are actually good enough actors.
As bad as this acting is.
Now, Ralph, if you remember having this record and comic book combination back when you were a little kid, was it genuinely exciting for you to listen to?
Oh, absolutely.
Was this
as a kid,
great radio like, drama at
just,
the time?
You're just following the story along. You don't realize how incredibly out of touch they are with
the African-American community in general.
Yeah, in 1971 or whatever, yeah.
I don't know, mid-70s whatever. So anyway, Captain America is captured, and he wakes up chained above this boiling vat, and we find out who the Phoenix really is.
What's behind all this, Phoenix? What madman's grudge do you have against me?
I would have thought my identity would have become obvious to you, Captain. My namesake, the spirit bird of legend that rises from the ashes of its own destruction to live anew, the death ray I use to lure you into my trap, the boiling substance in the vat below you. Or don't you recognize that substance? Adhesive X.
Adhesive X. Adhesive X!
Just tell us who you are. I don't need all the riddles.
Well, see, Adhesive X, of course, as we know, was invented by Baron Zemo. But Baron Zemo's dead.
I don't know anything about this.
This is the son of Baron Zemo, who's out to get revenge against Captain America.
And what's his power?
Well, he's got Adhesive X. Got a big vat of Adhesive X.
So he's just got super glue.
And a death ray.
And a death ray. Okay.
Yeah. So he's about to kill Captain America when Falcon comes in to rescue his old buddy Cap, and this is the final clip. This is, I think, maybe the best moment on the entire record.
You killed my father, and you're going to die for it in a boiling vat of Adhesive X.
What a rephrase that, sauerkraut.
The Falcon!
Good guess, Tucson.
The name of your destroyer is Phoenix.
Same difference. They're both in Arizona.
That did not happen.
That just happened.
That didn't happen.
Come on, Tucson.
Come on.
Phoenix. Same difference. They're both in Arizona.
That did not happen.
That just happened.
Does Captain America save the day?
Of course he does. The
Falcon
Phoenix,
saves the day.
Phoenix dies. Falcon pushes into the vat of boiling Adhesive X. And
wow. Do you think in the movie that comes out next week, do you think that the black characterization is going to be as 1970s?
I don't believe the Falcon is in Captain America, the First Avenger, so we won't have to see him say.
Well, it's poorer for that choice.
They're both in Arizona. Same difference.
Wow.
Yeah, inappropriate.
That's rough.
And wildly funny. And now, a moment with Bean.
Is it true that this is the final season of Celebrity Rehab for the nearby, as far as we can see, into the soon-to-be future?
That was a moment with Bean. Euphemisms for close.
That was sweet. It's always fun when it's not me.
I'm so good. Time for the showbiz. Here's Ruffer.
I think Bean gets actually depressed when it happens.
He does.
Kevin, you can laugh it off.
You
Bean
need to
takes
embrace
it to heart. Man.
I have to laugh it off or I'd kill myself.
I am disappointed in me. That is true.
Well, now you know how we feel.
Yep. Yes, I do.
Every day. I have tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of a little movie I like to call Captain America, the First Avenger. It's happening at the El Capitan Theater Tuesday, July the 19th. Of course, the film is in theaters everywhere next week and on Friday, July the 22nd. If you'd like to go, I've got a little trivia question for you for all you Captain America fans out there. And a very hot fangirl wrote me an email today saying, only guys are getting these tickets.
Yeah. You should only guys are interested.
You should have a girls-only question where only girls can call in to answer the questions to even things out a little bit. So maybe tomorrow we'll have a girls only trivia question.
But then you won't
what
get
should
any
you
calls.
Wear to not clash with the red carpet?
Then you won't get any calls, so what do you do?
How dare you say there are a ton of women out there who love comic books.
That are calling for their boyfriends.
And love men
and
who
husbands.
Love comic books. I'll have you know. Here's your trivia question. Every superhero has to have an arch nemesis. Batman has his Joker. Superman has his Lex Luthor. Spider-Man has his Green Goblin. Captain America, of course. His biggest, greatest
Captain
enemy.
Russia.
It's not Captain Russia. It's the Red Skull.
The Red Skull.
Red Skull. All I need from you people is what is the name, the real name of the Red Skull, the secret identity of the Red Skull. 1-800-520-1067. As Captain America is Steve Rogers, Red Skull is fill in the blank. First caller to get through wins a pair of passes to the red carpet world premiere. You get to see it with Chris Evans, who, of course, is Captain America, Haley Atwell. Tommy Lee Jones, Stanley Tucci, great cast.
Haley Atwell.
Good to see Red Skull is played by Hugo Weaving in this film.
Right.
Of course, you know him from the Matrix movies and V for Vendetta. So.
Haley Atwell
is also good. Another big movie, if you want to call it that, I guess, is the final Harry Potter film.
That's opening
up this weekend.
Pottermania
is striking America.
Not I can't wait so much that I spent the night in a tent last night.
That's what people are doing.
Exactly.
They had interviews this morning of people camped out on the sidewalk waiting to get in to see the seventh
Harry Potter movie. It was the 8th.
Yeah.
We kind of put our foot in it yesterday. Ralph, you weren't with us, but we were talking to producer Alex, and Kevin, I think, accidentally told her about, you know, Harry Potter dying at the end of this one. And she didn't know anything about it because she hadn't seen the movie yet. We just assumed it was out there for everybody, you know?
Well, I didn't know anything about it either because I didn't read the book, and
right.
I don't really care,
right.
But I love the movies.
Right.
Right.
So, but there's no way to avoid that fact.
No.
So.
No.
Listen, sorry. Harry dies. Sorry.
What are you going to do?
Sorry.
What are you going to do? We can't change the way it plays out, and that's the story.
I didn't want to know it. Someone told me.
People are saying it could be the biggest opening for a film ever tomorrow. In fact, the advance sales of the movie, now this is the time this article from Daily Variety was written, so I'm sure it's even more, but at the time they wrote the article yesterday, advance sales for the movie, these are people going online buying tickets for this weekend screenings, had already reached $32 million worth of ticket sales before the box office even opens in a theater.
Wow.
So I can only imagine what's going to happen. But they're doing the midnight screenings and they're doing, 24 hours a day. Some theaters are going to be running it, so...
Gonna be a lot of sad people walking out of there. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, Harry means a lot to people. But
sure.
Look, everything has to come to an end, including Harry Potter's life. The Twilight films also very, very popular. Rob Pattinson says he's over being a teen heartthrob.
Well, good.
He's going to reinvent himself. Robert says he's considering a dark, scary role for his next couple of films. He said he would like to play a serial killer.
Okay. And he'll pull that off how?
With his dashing good looks and super talent.
Serial killer.
And limited acting ability.
He kills someone with hair gel, I believe. But other than that, I don't think he's too much of a threat.
Depression.
This Ryan Reynolds, a little too much good fortune for this Ryan Reynolds fellow. First, he gets to be Green Lantern. And then he gets to be in, every movie that comes out every weekend. He's got Trading Spaces or whatever the one's coming out this weekend with Jason Bateman.
I like him. He's funny.
Reynolds?
I do. I like him.
He's likable enough, I guess. You know what he's not likable enough for?
What?
Charlize Theron!
Yeah, no.
Oh, no.
Is that
no,
in real life?
No.
Yeah,
no.
They are a couple.
Say no. Come on.
It's official. The two are dating. Us Weekly Magazine and the New York Post both report that they've been hanging out together for months, and they have been kept it pretty much below the radar, but they have decided to be exclusive, and now they are new Hollywood's power it couple.
Wow.
She's just trying to make me jealous, and it's sad.
It has
a little
nothing
sad
to do with you.
Ever since I got married, Charlize has just been acting out, and I think that she's embarrassing herself and making difficult for things situations for
it
me as well.
It has nothing to do
and
with
I
you.
Just wish that she would recognize that I still have feelings for her. I will never regret our relationship.
You
but
didn't have a
I
relationship.
I moved on. She moved on. I would like to think that we can be friends regardless of the fact that our relationship ended.
You didn't have a relationship ever.
She's going to be down to Comic-Con this weekend, you know?
Yes,
and
is she?
I just think it's going to be awkward.
Avoiding you at all costs.
I think it's
going to
be
costs.
Awkward. Next weekend, we're going to be down there together, and I'm just thinking... First of all, I'm going to be there with Emma Stone, right? So I got that going on. And then Charlize.
That'll hurt Charlize
when
she sees
that.
And if
we run into each other, then what? Then what happens?
When you say with Emma Stone, you mean you're going to interview her for about 4 minutes?
No, I am going to be alongside of her at Comic-Con. That's all you need to know.
You're
going to
be hosting a panel that she's sitting on.
Look, you can call it whatever you like. I am going to be next to Emma Stone.
I'm trying to be accurate.
You call it a date.
I'm being accurate. I am going to be alongside of her.
Okay.
That's what's happening.
Okay, good luck.
Now, the circumstances surrounding me being alongside of her is really not important.
Okay.
The fact is, I'm going to be alongside of her.
Okay. So you think...
And her boyfriend, Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Who plays Spider-Man. But I'm saying Charlize is going to be there.
Look, no.
And she said, we asked her if she wanted to stop by. She said she's too busy to come by.
I
which
wonder
is
why.
Just hurt feelings. That's why. Hurt feelings.
Yeah,
exactly. And I feel bad. And I wish I'm going to have to reach out and try to
Charlize
have a rapprochement, as they say in
France.
She's
the perfect woman and no guy is good enough. Right?
Right.
Neither are you.
No. I think I am one of the few exceptions.
You agreed to no guy is good enough for her.
Well, a guy. I don't consider myself a guy.
That includes you.
I'm a man. Man.
Okay.
If you had said man, I would have
all
had
right.
to
okay.
say, is this different? Answer.
Right. If Charlize knew you were going to be dressing up like Captain America to go to that movie screening, she would come running back in a hurry, wouldn't she?
Who's
you just don't get it, man.
Who's further from next in line from Ralph? As Ralph is.
Oh, so she didn't bring me a birthday cake and a bottle of champagne on my birthday. She didn't do that. She didn't come to the studio and drop off a birthday cake and a bottle of champagne for me on my birthday.
Did she do that at your house? I don't remember. Was she wanted to make an impression.
You know, it's like when you send flowers to a girl, you send them to her office because that way she can show all of her friends, oh, look how much I'm loved. That's what she was doing when she came by the studio to celebrate my birthday.
And how long ago was that?
I don't know. A couple months?
10 years?
Couple
months.
At least 5 years, Ralph.
5 years ago?
It might be best if you just let it go.
Your jealousy is unbecoming, gentlemen. I will tell
you
that. I will tell you that.
It is? Yeah.
Rosie Huntington-Whiteley.
Yes!
You dating her also?
Yes!
She's having a good year.
Yes!
Not only is she a star, of course, of the smash hit Transformers Dark of the Moon, but she is the new face of Burberry Body Scent. This is a fragrance from the Burberry people, of course, the legendary fashion name. She has got a new photo ad that was shown in Hollywood Reporter this week. It is her naked.
Yes!
Except for an unbuttoned, unbelted trench coat.
Damn that trench coat!
Of course, the coat is a Burberry coat. That's the kind of stuff that they make. But this is also selling their fragrance. So underneath that Burberry coat, all she's wearing is the fragrance.
Bet she smells good.
Oh, you know she does.
I sort of have a boner.
She could go on a 14-mile bike ride and get off and smell like cotton candy.
God, she's hot. Playboy hot.
That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of hot, Ralph, you want to talk to the hottest chick in the world who's calling in for your Captain America tickets?
Look, this wasn't the girl question. We're doing that tomorrow. We're doing all girls tomorrow.
Why would a girl be named Eduardo?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was misinformed. It's a guy this time.
Let's see if we have an answer to my trivia question. Eduardo?
Yes, guys. Hi.
Hi. How you doing, sir? What is the secret identity, the real name of Red Skull?
Johann Schmidt.
Johann Schmidt!
Yeah!
That Nazi son of a bitch. Oh, I hate him. I hate Red Skull.
What's the name of your best friend that you're going to bring? What's his name?
Oh, it's my wife.
No, yes, please. That's what I'm saying.
Please, you're married. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Three kids, man.
Yeah.
How can you guys still doubt the fact that fanboys can have rich, full lives with women after all this time?
Well, we've met you, for starters.
Oh, yeah. True. I didn't do so well
Ralph
when it came to the
hot,
ladies.
Has a hot wife, but we consider you lucky. It's total luck.
Eduardo, thanks for calling in. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see Captain America, the First Avenger, at the red carpet world premiere.
I already put him on hold.
All right, well, I'm sure he's listening.
Hey, thank you, Ralph. We're just saying.
You're going to be at Comic-Con next weekend.
I know. We're going to be hailed.
With our people, yeah.
We'll be hailed as heroes.
You won't be, because they know what you say. They hear you, you know. This radio, I know it doesn't seem like it, and it's not a lot of people, but this radio show is listened to by people outside of this room.
That's why we talk about sci-fi stuff so much. Bean and I are obsessed. Almost too much.
Today's celebrity birthday is Vincent Pastore, who played Big Pussy on The Sopranos. He is 65 years old today. Matthew Fox of Lost turns 45. I bet he's relieved not to have to go to Comic-Con this year.
Probably.
First year in a long time. The cast from Lost has the weekend off. Jackie Earle Haley. I've got a lot of angry emails because we did talk about the fact that Jackie was in The Watchmen and Human Target, but we didn't mention his early work as Kelly Leak from Bad News Bears. But apparently a lot of people still loving the Bad News Bears, so we do want to mention he was the coolest kid on the Bad News Bears.
Anybody that wrote with anger about that has to get a life.
Jackie's 50 years old today. Jane Lynch, who will be the host, as well as a nominee at this year's Emmy Awards. She is 51 years old. And Kyle Gass of Tenacious D celebrates his 51st birthday. Taboo of Black Eyed Peas is 36. And we've been celebrating all day. And I never felt this way before. It's like a dance club in here now. I swear.
Can you not like that, Bean?
Oh, that's good stuff.
They left that out of the studio. They said, this one's done. Let's go ahead and release this one into the world, right?
That song is the worst song ever. But the other songs they do are pretty good.
It makes me want to have a mojito. Dance under the mirror ball. That's awesome. That give me a little more. A little more Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, that's not necessary. Crazy steel skull.
Yeah. Gotta get that boom, boom, boom. Gotta get that boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. Oh, come
on board.
I don't know why. I don't see how brilliant that is.
You get on board.
You would enjoy it so much more if you're on E like I was right now.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
Yeah.
Let's get it started in here.
How can you not want to get it started?
Come on. They're just saying it right there.
Without getting it started, there's no anything happening.
You got to get started in here, That's not outside. Right.
Come on,
I don't get the peas. I'm sorry, guys. I know they're enormously popular. I don't understand it. I really don't have.
The time of my life, and I never felt this way before. And I swear this is true.
Okay, that's not good.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
All right, that's the worst.
Make it stop.
Because the problem is, Bean has never busted a move. That's why he's never gotten up on the dance floor and shaken his groove thing.
That's the thing. You and I. That's like we breathe. We dance like we breathe.
Oh, really? We're poetry in motion. That's what they called us back in the day.
Back when we were a dance team.
Yeah.
That was your crew name?
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have comedian Eddie Izzard in the studio with us.
I love Eddie so much.
One of the best.
Very excited about that. We have Mark Hoppus on the phone. He's going to tell us about the new Blink 182 song, which we are going to play.
Please, liar.
It's a new...
They
Blink
don't
182
have any
song.
New music.
They do.
They don't.
And we're going to play it. We also have Movie Beat. Ralph will be here with that. We've got Corey Taylor, of course, from Slipknot and Stone Sour.
She's sad since Corey Haim died.
He's written a book. We got that. And we have some more tickets for L.A. Rising tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and B.